Hello and welcome to the Notorious Scoundrels. I am Evan Paul. That over there is Mike Barry. What's up?
Hey. So,
you know, Mike, we didn't plan on talking about this, but just as we were starting, I was reminded of I was watching Jeopardy because I was recently on vacation. So I was watching Jeopardy because when you're in the hotel room, sometimes that's just like what's on, right? Yeah. I mean, what's your I'm in a hotel room and I don't have a choice. Of what to watch. Like, what's the show that you put on?
Ancient Aliens. Without fail.
Okay, well, we're going to be putting the podcast on hiatus for right now.
I think it's hilarious. It's like one of those things where you just... It's like watching like really crappy reality TV, right? And it just like it,
yeah,
it feeds a part of your brain that like
a bad part of your brain,
like absolutely, like of course the Egyptians didn't move cinder blocks with lasers and anti-grav platforms, but
that's what they want you to think.
But that's what they want you to think.
This was an early interaction between my wife and I, was that we were flipping channels and Ancient Aliens came on, and she just like laughed at how pissed I was when I was watching the show for the very first time. And I was just like, what the hell are these guys talking about? This is not what history is.
Yeah, I mean it is definitely a real problem that show originally aired on the History Channel.
It is that was like, what I was upset with. Yeah,
like that definitely
essential thing
that like it would, I think it would be one thing if it was like, you know, like Apple TV was like, hey, we've got this new show, it's called Ancient Aliens, or Netflix was like, hey, we've got this new show, Ancient Aliens. But like the History Channel, like, you know, you would be watching like a documentary on like D-Day, and then it would flip into Ancient Aliens, and it would sound like it was like both were just as valid.
But
right?
You know, like there are already cable channels out there that have like trash television on them. You know, it could have been on USA or A&E or, you know, TLC or whatever. Like, but History
probably
Channel
should have been.
It should have been. Yeah. Another. Getting way off topic, they're also like Ice Road Truckers. Like, what does that have to do with history?
I don't know, man. I think it's the History Channel also, like really reaching into
yeah,
you know, making content.
I think the Crab Show was Discovery Channel at least, so I give them credit for that because, you know, that's relevant. But anyway, what I was gonna say, I was watching Jeopardy, and there is this like sort of hilarious category about TikTok.
Okay.
Which was funny, you know, because like all the Jeopardy contestants, you know, they're pretty much like all in like their 40s and, you know, very, very obviously studied people. And that Ken Jennings is up there. He's a great host, by the way. He's a very good replacement. He's just like asking these like professorial types about TikTok questions. And one of them that came up was this concept. I'm going to really age myself here, just like spoiler warning, about the millennial pause. Is this a thing that you've become aware of? So this is where young people who are watching this, if any of you are out there, are going to like say that we've probably done it. It has to do with like when people are streaming, that as they're like starting a stream, they'll like have a pause in the beginning, and that I know you have that look, Mike, but the kids will say, if you pause in the beginning, you're screwing up, and that you're losing the attention span of people who are trying to watch your stream. And so, and we're literally talking about like half a second or 1 second. Just like the stream starts and say, hey, this is Evan Paul, I'm here streaming stuff.
Oh, yeah.
What you're supposed to do is the stream starts and says, hey, this is Evan.
Yo, what's up, man?
What's
going
on, guys?
Yeah. I definitely have noticed, like, the content creators that I watch definitely are, several of them have, like, 10 to 15 minute, like, stream starting soon screens, and they don't, like, engage with their audience at all during that time, which
guess,
is, like,
I guess
the polar
that's
opposite of
what
what you're talking about. But I imagine, you know, that's because they're geared towards me and not these new hip young kids.
Yeah, Mike, well, we're old.
We are.
So
That's becoming more and more apparent to me by the day.
that's just how it works. Anyway, aside from that, that was on the second trip I've been on. I've been very busy tripping around. That is my excuse, by the way, of why the WTC article just went up as we recorded this, which is on June 6th. Have had a lot going on. I apologize. We'll be back on schedule now. Also, we're going to have that Inversio article as well as a couple more Shatterpoint articles from Matt. We're going to have a second written interview about Shatterpoint soon. We're just like kind of getting the final word on the questions there. So lots of cool stuff going on. And then, Mike, we should tell folks again, we got TFT minis.
I think by the time this is out, the fourth one will probably be out.
Yeah, talking about Captain Rex.
Yes,
Or that is the
Captain
fourth one,
Rex is
right?
the fourth
Yeah.
one. And then we've got a list breakdown for the fifth one, and we're gonna keep on going on from there. It seems like people are receiving that pretty positively. I have gotten a few questions about it. It is a video only thing, at least right
For
now.
now, we do have some podcast feeds though, so I'm like, yeah, we'll talk about this off the air, Mike, but
We'll see.
I
We'll
have
see.
thoughts
It's
about it.
extra work for me
Yeah, well,
to
it's not extra
fill
work for me, so life is tough, bro.
It's a pain in the butt.
But no, I think those are great, and it's an extra reason to become a member of the Patreon, because then you can get on the Discord and chat with us about what sort of stuff you would want us to talk about. We're gonna try to mix it up. At least early on, we're gonna have, I think, especially a focus on strategy and tactics, and probably once we feel like we've explored more of the core concepts, it'll be a little bit more of the unit guides and list breakdowns. But we're gonna try and switch it up for the entertainment.
Yeah, and it's possible that like maybe we do like a hobby one or something, like, I don't know,
We're gonna need to get like a Nick Bodnar if we're gonna
Yeah,
like talk about
hey,
terrain.
I know how to dry brush things,
Okay, sure. Yeah, I can hobby okay when I have like four times as much time to do it as it would probably take for most people. That's
I agree
basically what
with
my
that
deal is.
assessment.
Yeah.
I've been in the middle of my lat project for the last like month and a half, and like it's not even 50% done. Like it's assembled and it's primed, and like
But you're doing a complicated like diorama type deal.
I
It sounds
mean
pretty cool.
yeah I mean it's like I've got like some Shatterpoint boxes on the base, and I'm like taking some of the old ARC troopers, and like they're gonna be like basically on their flight stands, like on the boxes, like looking like they're, jumping out of the lat
Yeah.
or whatever, which would be cool.
It's make use of those flight stands, man. Never forget.
Never forget. All my arcs are currently on flight stands too, so that's gonna be awkward in like 4 years, but because I'm not buying new ones.
Rise of Skywalker, the meme line was they fly now, and in Star Wars Legion, it's now that they don't fly
They
now.
don't fly
So
now.
poor one out. Anyway, we've rambled enough. I have a couple quick shout outs. Matuz Drabant, Mikolai Radzuski. I hope I did that one right. And then David Vino, thank you very much for being patrons. So Mike, it's obviously just us today, no guests today, and reason for that is because we're gonna be running the numbers. Where you're you live in the DC area, you're an NPR listener at least sometimes, right, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, I
I would
mean,
say now that like I don't know, with the advent of like music stations and stuff on like Spotify, I
right.
am less of an NPR listener. It's an exclusive I'm in the car sort of situation.
Yeah, of course. I was just curious if you remember that, like when they talked about like the markets, is that they would play this like ragtime version of like we're in the money.
I do recall that. I think, oh man, what was the catch line?
They said,
Was it?
let's do the numbers.
No, well, sorry, the catch line from the show that I used to watch or listen to the most was like, and now the rest of the story, or something like that. Do you know what I'm
Oh,
talking about?
that was an old radio show.
Yes, it's like it's been a while.
And I
It's
think
been a
it,
while, but it was
yeah, I
definitely
don't
up
even remember the
there.
name of that one. But it was this really old guy who said, "Now you know the rest of
Rest
the
of the
story."
story. Yeah, it just I don't know. I have like my NPR nostalgia is like just built into that.
Yeah. Once again, it's like aging ourselves at an even more rapid pace. So yeah, Mike, we are here to run the numbers. We've had the first big GT in UKGE that just happened this last weekend as we're recording, and then before that, two also quite big tournaments: the World Team Championships, which I had just come from. It was an amazing time. We'll talk about that, and then the Rocky Top Open down in Tennessee, which, if you can believe it, is a place that I used to live, and I fit in extremely, extremely well. So I think that we're gonna start with the one that was technically the biggest, even though it's like a little bit different because it's a team format. But WTC, there were 28 teams, which means that there were 112 players. Just to recap very, very briefly, teams could choose four out of the available like actual factions, and then Shadow Collective. You just had to pick which four of those you're going to represent in your team, and then there was a system that you used to make matchups. I get into that in the article that's up on the site if people are curious about it. But once you got past that, it's just regular Legion, like individuals playing each other.
I think the one caveat, and this is the only time I'm going to say it, is that I do think that the way that the system works, it does allow you to at
Target
least
matchups.
try to fade bad matchups,
Correct.
right?
Yeah.
Like if you have a like somebody that you really don't want to play somebody else, you can attempt to manipulate what would otherwise be like a hard counter to not be a hard counter, right?
Yeah, I mean, as an example, the team that I was running, we had my list and the Gar list, which was, basically Anakin and bunch of clones, sort of standard stuff. We were the ones that we would use as the list where we didn't get to decide the matchup, because they're sort of just like generic all comers list. My list was a Aqua Dooku list, can handle most things theoretically. And then we had like a rebel high activation list with some speeder action and an Imperial suppression based list. And those are like more skewy. And so we tried to target those towards a matchup. So you're right. There is like a little bit of wackiness to this in terms of talking about it from a strict data perspective. I think that actually came to that came into being, especially when it came to the win rate for Shadow Collective in particular, which was we'll talk about. But yeah, like big tournament, it was an amazing time. Some of the best players in the world are there, at the, just from the Adepticon top eight. I think that there were five people there that were the Adepticon top eight, on the US teams. And then on the European teams, of course, like the team that ended up winning, spoiler alert, is the one that had Ali Dyer, former world champion; Lila Clare, former world runner-up; David Grant, a guy who's done our podcast and beat up a bunch of people over there in England; and Jeff Porritt, who has also beat up a bunch of people over there in England. And then there was Germany, there was France, who won last year. A lot of really, really, really fantastic players. That France team did have Antoine Grenet, the
I'm just glad
famed
France didn't win
Ewok
again.
killer. Oh yeah, but I put that in the article. There was a shared feeling, and I'm sorry, France. This is what happens when you raffle stomp everybody in the first WTC. There was just a shared feeling that we wanted to make sure that France didn't win again, and that didn't happen. They actually ended up getting sixth, which was behind the two US teams that weren't me. So cool. Good job. Good job, the other two US teams. We did pretty well. We were 14th out of 28th. So like solidly in the middle. We ended up having two wins, two losses, and two draws. There ended up not being a like tiebreaker system for the draws, so the draws were like true draws. But Whatever, we dealt with it. And yeah, like, even though something we were talking about before we started was that you kind of thought that there would be a little bit more pizzazz on average with these lists. But it sounded like when you were looking at the list that you were actually struck by sort of how meta they seemed, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, when they published all the WTC lists, like, I don't know, like a week before the event or whatever, you could go
Right,
in and
right,
like
right.
you go in and like pull the lists by
Yep.
manually. So me being the person I am, I went in and I pulled all the basically all the Republic ones manually, just looking to see strictly what the squad leader upgrade was on ARC Troopers. Because look,
Medics.
yeah, I mean, the answer was obviously going to be
Yeah.
the answer was obviously going to be medics, but I wanted to like measure how by how much,
Right.
right? Like,
Yeah.
because to me the answer was always going to be medics. It's just a question of,
How many
and the
medics?
answer was it wasn't close. It was there was like two guardians that got taken out of like literally every WTC team had a Gar player, right?
Yep.
And they all had at least three arcs, basically. I mean, there was
Yes.
probably like a couple exceptions, but like, and like 99% of them had medics in them. If the squad leader was filled out, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I heard mixed feelings to a certain extent on like how valuable they truly were. For what it's worth, William Worf, who was on my team, and he went 5-1. He only lost to one of the France 3 players that went 6-0 with a fairly interesting rebel list. That's also something you can look up on the article, which we'll link to. He was definitely telling me that he loves the flexibility of the medics, which is the same way that I feel about them. Especially like if you have an Anakin list, there are situations where he's gonna like take a couple shots, and he just like takes three crits to the face, and all of a sudden you have a 3 health Anakin, which limits your ability to be aggressive with him to a large extent. But if you can, change that into a 5 health Anakin with not a lot of effort, like that can re revive your strategy from, being knocked down a tier in terms of your ability to be aggressive. And of course, you can be bringing minis back from the arguments themselves, but like also a commando, for instance. You think about the value of a commando mini, very high. It's very high. It's like, 24 points per commando or whatever it is. It's like it is good to bring those guys back. And medics before were not taken because, well, not as much anyway, because you were paying 20 points for what was ultimately a clone infantry trooper. But now you're paying 20 points for what is ultimately an ARC trooper, and that's a lot better.
Or better, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird, right? Because I think before medics came out, I think you could have made the argument that it was still kind of a toss up to see who was going to win in the like captain versus guardian kind of upgrade situation on
Yeah.
like how important the range profile was. And like the medic is just like a lot better than the captain. Just generically, there are like a couple situations where having like maybe one captain, like if you have
Yes.
fives in your list, like having one captain is maybe okay, but
Or if
like
you have Ahsoka in your list as a core upgrade, then
sure.
that enables block on that unit one extra time. So yeah, there's ways to squeeze extra value, but if you're just talking about in a vacuum, the medic is just better.
Yeah, I mean like a medic charge is worth three dodge tokens, right? Like,
Yeah.
so roughly.
Right.
So you need to be kind of evaluating it in that circumstance. So anyways, that's a very long-winded way of saying I was hoping people would be cool and take lightsabers, and people were not cool, and they just took medics, like I kind of suspected, a month and a half ago when the rules dropped.
So, before people get upset with me, there were plenty of cool lists out there. There were a couple Wookiee lists from very, very brave people. I did get some crap for not bringing Wookiees, but hey, I was the CIS player, so got to do what you got to do, which is bringing two Aquadroids, as it turns out.
Least
There,
one.
right. One of the things that actually was really, really remarkable to me was that when you looked at the high performing Empire lists, was just how so little variety it seemed like there was. There were a couple lists that used Iden instead of Krennic, so that was like an option. But just like sort of racking my brain thinking about the top cut teams, like the top six teams that I was looking at for this article, it's just like Vader, Krennic slash Iden, Dewbacks, Ion Snowtroopers. And then you go to the next list and just like got Vader, we got Dewbacks. You go to the next list, we got some Vader, we got some Dewbacks.
I mean, in the defense, so I don't think that that is necessarily a problem, generally speaking.
Interesting.
In that I don't think Republic is much different. I don't think Separatists are much different, and I really don't think Rebels are much different. It's like you look at Rebel lists, you're like AT-RTs, Sleeper Cell, like Spattering of Heroes. You look at Separatists, you're like
Yeah.
Aqua Droids, Droidekas,
I
like.
guess the difference is that those lists do have variation at the top, right, from the
There,
commander perspective.
yes, I definitely
Maybe
think
that's
that
it.
there's several there's definitely more interchangeable pieces, but I think the nuts and bolts of the lists are kind of the same in the Dewbacks, Droidekas, Ion Troopers, B1s or whatever, and it's just I don't actually have any issue with that at all. Like, there's always going to be like a cream of the crop.
That's just meta play.
At least that, in my opinion. Would it be great if there was like more variance in that? Yeah, of course. That's a lot harder to achieve, I think.
That's fair. I'll say that it seemed like there were more archetypes, especially when it came to Rebels. But again, a lot of that is just because there was variation at the top. And I do think it's worth mentioning that there were six undefeated players in this tournament from various teams. Not every team that like finished in the top six had any undefeated players. Of course, England, which won, actually had two undefeated players, which was Ollie and Lila. So that certainly helped propel them. But when you look at the undefeated lists, there were three rebel lists that they all had sleeper cells, just like you said. They all had ATRTs. I'm just like double checking myself. Yes, they. No, one of them actually had Commander Luke and two super fleet trooper squads. So that was the and then actually my favorite part of this list, I'm curious what you think about this, Mike. This is Julian Gorgor Villarreau, or maybe it's Villarreau, in France 3. He was the rebel player. He had two X-34s with just the 1 point rifle gunner, which puts them at 56 points. And that was it. And like when I looked at that, I was like, wow, this is actually really smart.
Yeah, I mean, they're
What do you
cheap,
think about
right?
that?
They're
Yeah, it was
cheap.
56
They're,
points.
yeah, I mean, that's, it's basically a speeder that doesn't do damage, right? At that
Right.
point.
It's like four white dice, I think.
Yeah,
So
which
yeah,
I
it does.
mean, it's
You
like,
can do suppression usually, at least.
and I think you can split fire
You
too.
can, yeah.
So I mean, yeah, it's if you're looking into activation pad in 55 points is like roughly like a rebel trooper with a heavy, like would I rather have a rebel trooper with a heavy or like a fast land speeder that, like, frankly, does like a comparable amount of damage? Yeah, I'd take Lance Peter.
Absolutely. And it's
Yeah.
also way more annoying to kill than a rebel trooper.
Oh,
It's like
absolutely. You know,
way
it's,
more.
you know, I think one of the things is like you can like slap two land speeders and three ATRTs down, and like it's kind of like the bulk of your army has old cover, you know, which is pretty cool.
The crazy thing is that I think the X-34 is one of those models that's like pretty hard to find right now.
Yeah, I'm glad I have two. They're on a
Yeah,
one is in a
I have
various
two as
stages of
well.
assembly, but
Yeah, they I have two. They don't look very good, but you know, if I ever need to dig them out, then it's good to have them.
I lost the windshield on one.
Who needs that
Who needs
anyway?
the
A
windshield?
little bit of sand in your face.
Yeah.
Puts hair in your chest. Other undefeateds, there was no Shadow Collective. There were two CIS lists, one of them was Lila. She was running experimental droids. I do think it's interesting to like consider the evolution of the EXD list, where it has truly just like gone into like putting literally everything into the double snail part of the list.
Yeah.
Your three Deccas are obviously doing work. We've talked many times in this podcast about why Deccas are freaking awesome. But then she has one naked B2, which I'm pretty sure is basically there for her activation padding. It obviously can do stuff, and it's a little bit annoying to kill, but it's not gonna like wreck anybody. But then, you know, she's got Kalani with a lead by example, which is a cool choice, and then HQ uplink and improvised orders, and then just like two filled to the brim snails, and also two filled to the brim BX commandos without any repair droids. But her B1s have no heavies, but they both have portable scanners, so they just exist to like dodge Kalani. Or maybe dodge a snail, and then you got dodges, and the BXs have vibro swords. They can really charge in there. This list was like being talked about, especially with, like the combination of an effective attrition list and a very effective attrition player. People were talking about playing against Lila like it was you were about to you know do you were about to like go boxing with a gorilla, or that you know you're being hunted by the T-1000. Like Isaiah had to go against her playing Bunker Assault with a similar list to the one he took to Worlds, and you can imagine that that didn't go very well.
Oh, I'm sure that doesn't seem like a good matchup at all.
No.
Yeah. I mean, EXD is still really good, right? Like
Yeah, it's really good attrition.
it's never not been good, I think, at this point. I think, and it's actually, as far as, we were talking before about like you kind of have to take this, and this in a certain faction. It's interesting. I think there's a couple different builds to the EXD list, and they're all decent, right? You can like focus on the B2s, you can focus on the snails, you can like build a variant that's like really focused on the BXs, or you can kind of like choose like two of the three of those things in your EXD list. Obviously she chose the BXs and the snails. I think the snails are definitely the best thing you could be doing right now with that list.
It's
Like
11 highly modified dice at range three.
they're really quite good,
That's
and
very
like
good.
range three on the snail is not like it's not real range three,
Yeah, it's
it's
snail
like
range three.
yeah, it's like it's range three, but really you can touch anything on the board because their dice is so
It's
big.
yeah,
Like
it boils down to the fact that the speed one move in a snail is not a real speed one.
yeah, it's like
It's
12 inches.
right. It's
It might be more than
ridiculous.
that, frankly.
Yeah. It's yeah, it's funny like when you learn those things, 'cause when I learned that concept, it was because I was flying around a YV666 there, that the Houndstooth in X-Wing. You put the little tiny speed one template in an X-Wing, and then the whole thing just like jumps, and you're like, oh, the
Oh,
size of the base does matter. Go figure.
matters a lot.
Makes you faster.
Yep.
It's a little bit counterintuitive to a new minis gamer. But and the other CIS list that was 6-0, was a 17-year-old dude named Johan. And his dad, he was on Switzerland 2. His dad was on Switzerland 1. His dad, Philip, and Johan went 6-0, just like knocking heads with a one of many Dooku Aqua droids that I ended up liking more than the list that I actually took. Like I by the time I looked at the sixth or whatever of Aqua Dooku list, and there were a lot, as you can tell, I was like, they probably had a better idea than me. But what Johan did was that he instead of a Deka, he does have one Flamer Spider. And then instead of a second Aqua droid, he like added another naked B1, and he added a naked Magna, so that he was like spreading out the beef a little bit. But he ended up with 13x, which for Dooku is awesome. You've experienced that recently yourself, and like still a lot of health to chew through. And he played a bunch of really good players. Like he beat Dave Grant. He beat Nostris in France. He's a very good player. He beat my teammate Tristan Britt. Sorry, Tristan. But he's a good player as well. He was top eight in Worlds this year. So yeah, young up and comer, with a really like with a cool list, like a brave list, much braver than the Aqua Dooku list that I took. And then of course the final 6-0 was Ollie Dyer playing the 6-act clone list that we have talked about many times. And I think that with that one, we're going to sort of table it, because we're going to talk about that again when we talk about UKGE. Yeah, I mean, any other thoughts on any of those lists, or do you have thoughts on the fact that the top Empire player, I think there was one 5-1 Empire player, and then everybody else was 4-2 or below?
We'll get back to the Empire thing, I think, when we
Yeah.
talked
Yeah.
about the other
That's
tournaments.
fair. That's fair.
I think while we're talking about the Aqua Dooku thing, I think that the interesting thing that I have been finding with the Aqua Dooku lists is that I don't think that all of the CIS players have landed on what configuration is actually like optimal.
Yeah.
That like you know you were talking about Empire and Dubex and like Vader, and like it's like very clear the Empire players are like, this is the optimal thing we're doing, everybody's doing it, like it's just this, and there's not a ton of variation. Whereas I look at all these Aqua Dooku lists and I'm not sure, there's like a couple that are like exactly the same, but there's a lot of variation in these lists.
A lot of it has to do with what is your like secondary non-unique beef unit, which is to say that obviously like your primary non-unique beef unit is the Aqua droids in that list, and then usually like your Dekas are sort of the tertiary one that they're zooming around. But then you're in this place where you have 200 points ish left, and the question is like, what do you spend that on? So for me, because I have zero creativity, most of my list was inspired by the one that kicked my butt twice at Adepticon, Nikola Bukaez. And so I went with just like straight up B2 with ACM, just because it seemed efficient, and it's obviously good at the ranges that are good in this game. I've tried out the Magna version, which is more expensive, but honestly, that has also felt good when I've tried it. I've seen versions that have looked at BXs in that place instead. I don't know which one is better, to be honest with you.
I'm not sure either. That's why I'm bringing it up. You know, it's like one of those things where I'm not positive about this statement yet, because New Legion is still pretty new, but I'm not sure. Like this is like ever and like gonna be like a thing that we land on with a list like this. There are just so many different parts and pieces to it, and the games are so fluid
When it's 1,000 points.
that it's like some of this is definitely gonna come down to personal taste, I think. I don't know.
I will say I've been pretty down on the B2s like leading up to the tournament, but you have to li submit your list, a couple weeks ahead of time, so I couldn't change anything about it. But then I think it was round one, I two-shotted Luke Skywalker.
Nice.
And that felt pretty good.
I'm sure it did. I'm sure it
Like,
did.
I'm talking about Jedi Luke, by the way. And
No.
yeah, so you know, they certainly came through that time. Yeah, and just like we have already mentioned, England won. Second place was USA two, which was Austin Miller, Rob Rowland, Isaiah Wallace, friend of the pod, world champion, et cetera, et cetera. Isaiah and I are gonna go play at a tournament together tomorrow, actually, as we record this. And then Wes
Watch
Wagner.
out, people that are going. They've been, figuring out what mean things are gonna do to y'all
And
in our private chat.
guess who's bringing a list that is creative and cool? That's Isaiah. And then guess who's bringing Six Sack clones? That's me. Like I said, we're going to talk about that in a second. Switzerland won, which is Lucas Stobler. I apologize if I get names wrong. Silvio Stemmer, Philip S, and Manuel Collin. USA two. So we had two teams in the top six. That was pretty cool. Again, mine was all the way down at 14th. That was Brian Baer, anti-friend of the pod, Brian Baer, I should mention that. Joe Hicks, Luke Cook, and David Delta Dave Johnson. And then we had Germany one, PP Mueller, Andreas Roeder, Lucas Vorwegg, Richard Rasmussen. Those are very familiar names for people that have been following the Legion scene. And then France one, bringing up the rear of the top six. Antoine Grenet, Romain SWL, Anna Trotro, and Nostris. We banded together to knock France one off of their pedestal. I'm sure that they will come back with a vengeance next year. I did overhear a conversation where Antoine was like very confidently telling somebody else that Ewoks are definitely still the best list, and that everybody else just like hasn't woken up to it. And he might be right.
I mean, it's definitely still a good
It's
list. I
really good.
I'm not. Yeah, I think it's still a little unclear. I think what the absolute best lists are. We've got some front runners, right? But I don't know. The meta's still shifting a little bit.
I am glad that we're way outside of the zone of like pre-November points change, where it was like, oh, you're not playing EXD or 501, then GTFO, bro. We're way far away from that now. So at the very least, I think that we can be happy with that, even if Empire and maybe Shadow Collective are lagging behind a little bit. And I think that's actually like the only other thing that I'll mention real quick, which is that when you look at the win rates for this like relatively low, I mean, it's not for one tournament when you have 112 players and you have six rounds, like you get a decent sample. And so, for instance, there were 72 Shadow Collective games in total. In those 72 games, Shadow Collective went 25-47, Mike. I looked at the faction breakdown of matchups because I got curious about that, because like you mentioned about how the targeting aspect could come into play there.
That definitely when we're talking about faction win rates, I definitely am a little bit like, hey,
For sure, especially with Shadow Collective. The rest of them, honestly, you know, when you talk about CIS was 57, Rebel was 56, Gar was 49, and Empire was 42. Those are maybe like those seem like a slight exaggeration of what is probably the baseline reality. The Shadow Collective one is what seemed really off.
They're definitely on the curve, right? And I definitely I Shadow Collective's tough. It is just a battle force.
As we remind people regularly on this podcast.
And I guess what I want to say there is like we are not anywhere close to in Legion being like, hey, Battle Force X's win percentage is bad, therefore you got to fix the Battle Force, right? Like otherwise like we would be fixing like Separatist Invasion Force, and like I don't even know what the win rates for that Battle Force are because no one plays it, right? Like which leads me to believe that it's probably low.
It's probably low. I mean, and it's also probably like statistically messed up anyway because of how few numbers you have.
Right,
So
and
you
it's
can never
like
get any real data from it.
nobody plays Echo Base. I think it really depends on like how you're viewing Shadow Collective in that Like if you look at Shadow Collective as a battle force, the
Yeah.
win percentage is what it is, you
But
know?
that's the thing, Mike, is that I can play everything in Separatist Invasion in a regular ass CIS list, but most of the stuff in Shadow Collective you can't.
Sure.
Or half the stuff in Shadow Collective you can.
I guess I would maybe say that you bought into Shadow Collective on false pretenses.
You were fooled.
Yes. You were deceived.
Well,
For another battle force was forged.
yeah, like we are waiting to see what the whole gun gun situation is going to end up being if that ever happens. Yeah, and hey, the weak ways are coming. The speeder tank is coming. They have stuff, and then of course points can be adjusted. Like they're certainly not dead in the water. It does feel like maybe they're getting picked on by CIS and at least in this tournament, CIS and Republic walloped them. Just absolutely creamed the Shadow Collective list. It was like 78% for CIS and 81 for Republic. It was like stupid high. And again, lowish sample size, but I don't know. Those of you out there who are still braving the Shadow Collective, you're very brave and we will try to support you. But maybe now is not the best time. I don't know. Maybe as we pivot, Mike, we're going to talk about Rocky Top Open, which was a recent big tournament in America. So why don't you tell us about that and maybe like how it's different and how it's not different from what we saw at WTC.
Yeah, so this is the first tournament today that we're going to talk about where like there's not going to be an even spread of factions because it's not a team
Right,
tournament, right? Like I
right,
think
right.
that that's one of the important things to talk about as far as WTC goes, like
Fair.
you kind of had to
Basically
represent
enforced even
every
spread of factions. Yeah.
yes, you know, like it, people didn't get to choose to not play Empire, really, right? Like they had to,
Many would have done so.
sure, they would have had to figure that out,
Right.
right? So I do want to kind of like enter, kind of like
Yeah.
reframe
Very fair. Very
our
fair.
point of entry here. So there was two X and O's. One was a surprise, surprise, Aqua Dugu list.
Hey.
That was Justin Fleming. And then we had a Cody Lat list with
Hey.
Ahsoka in an ARC Trooper squad.
Oh.
And that was Richard Lavery. It wasn't quite the like the tech that I had been running. There was no ISP to like drop extra observation tokens. You know, I would have to talk to Richard about like whether he was like being like super aggressive round one with Cody to like drop the observation tokens where
Right,
he wanted
right.
them or whatever. But at least on its face, looks like a kind of a similar concept. And the top eight was half Separatists, and the other half of it was Republic and Rebels, both coming in at 2-2.
Yep.
No Shadow Collective and no Empire. What I want to talk about here, from like a grand scope of things at Rocky Top, is like all of those Separatists, Garlists, and I guess the Garlist, like the Lat list, is a little bit out of the ordinary. The other Garlist, which was Kentucky Dan, was led by Commander Ahsoka, but otherwise was like pretty, you know, it was ARCs, commandos,
Right,
and
right.
like super fives, right? There were 60 people in the tournament.
Okay.
How many people do you think played Empire?
Ooh. I mean, you're giving me a little bit of a clue with the way you're asking the question here, but I'm gonna say six.
Seven.
Ah, I was pretty close.
You were very close. The reason I'm bringing this up is because Empire, throughout the course of Legion's history, is the most popular faction that is played by a lot.
By more than 10%,
Yes, it's generally
which in a
like,
four faction game is a lot.
it's huge,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
And it was almost at Shadow Collective levels in this tournament, which to me, on the face of it, this is one tournament. We haven't talked about UKGE yet. I'm sure you're gonna like brief us on those numbers, but like
Yep.
this is a big red flag to me in that people are basically abandoning this flag faction en masse, at least at Rocky Top, right? And that's concerning to me, because normally we would think that if there was a 60-player tournament, somewhere in the realm of like 15 to 22 of those lists would be Empire, roughly, and instead we got seven. The highest Empire player, 29th.
Yeah, I mean that's something we've come to expect, right? Is
I
that
mean, yes, no doubt. I just like, definitely, I think that's like kind of one of the overarching things that we want to take away from this tournament. Other than that, I think a lot of the same things that we saw at WTC were true. Nobody was brave enough to bring Ollie's list, so I think we're gonna have to discuss that in the
I think that's
UKGE shenanigans.
yeah, we're gonna discuss it there for sure. Yes.
Other than that, we had a bunch of aquas, a bunch of sleeper cells, a bunch of arcs, and no Empire, right?
Yeah,
That's kind of.
I was looking at oh, we should shout out even though I like to joke about especially Winter Moon as being an enemy podcast, even though I certainly don't feel anything close to that way, but we should shout out that one Will Heim of the Stabcast was top Shadow Collective player. He did finish 11th at 4-1. It's pretty good.
He did. And I think he was playing Maul, and bunch of Naked Pikes
Yeah,
and
Maul Pike Spam.
Max. Well, it was Max Mando spam is
Okay,
how
but
I would
yeah,
define
with
this list.
activation filler pikes like tossed in there with purely naked, with one capo being his only barrier between Courage One, the Courage One Death March. Very brave of him.
Like I said, I think we've talked about it before, but I think that keyword has got to go,
Yeah,
that
it's
makes
not
them
very fun at
dependent on
all.
that. It's not fun, and it's also just like not practical in the new edition, unless you put
Doesn't feel
capos
necessary.
in, yeah, unless you put capos and Vigos in like every squad, which means your squads are plus 20 points, right? Which just, I don't know.
Maybe our opinion is that just because of the fact that like not a lot of people would play naked Black Suns anyway, and that all kinds of pikes just have lower value. I don't know. They could do something to where you like take the keyword away in a mercenary army, right?
I think it is almost the exact same thing as flawed. And the reasoning, they were like, we removed flawed because this is a thing that your opponent can manipulate against you and makes you feel bad. Like these mercenary units basically have flawed courage value, right? Like
That's true.
that's basically what it is.
Yeah, that's fair.
And
They're all like a tiny callus,
Like literally,
waiting to be put into the suppressions or the panic zone.
exactly. So is it surprising that they went like 24 and 46 at WTC? If every one of your units had flawed courage value on it, like, yeah, okay.
Of course, that is for the core, and
No doubt.
some lists would only want to have like Courage 2 Black Suns in there anyway, and so that they wouldn't care. So, I mean, it really matters for pikes, is what it feels like.
Yes, I think pikes specifically suffer mainly because, like, danger sense kind of want to have suppression on your units to some degree,
The
you know?
survivability of pikes ain't what it used to be with the new cover system,
No, it's
let me
not.
tell you. Yeah, they can die pretty fast. I was just looking at Justin's CIS list just to kind of see like what were the choices that he made
Yeah,
with the Aqua Dooku.
he had a Geo super squad in there, which was definitely interesting. And
Yeah, I like that.
he had a one of Black Sun. And I think, going back to like the variation, he's got a crab droid in here for a Droideka, which, obviously, I guess I shouldn't say obviously, because I think maybe depending on the game, you're scouting the Geos or Dooku, maybe.
It would depend on what the primary is, I think.
The lack of burst of speed on Count Dooku is like
That is a level of bravery that I am not willing to ascribe to. But of course, like, he won the tournament, so it's not like we're knocking it. It just means that he's got
I'm
more
gonna
gumption
knock
than
it.
me.
Find the 10 points, my man.
Mike is knocking it. If you want to get back to us, then message Mike. I'm not
I'm
signing
happy to
on to
talk
the
about
knocking
it.
Justin Fleming. By the way, I should mention, we mentioned Richard Lavery, who came in second. He was also 5-0. Speaking of enemy podcasts, I think that they like started up an actual podcast recently instead of just doing videos, which is great.
Oh, for Cryptodog. Yeah, cool.
I just wanted to extend the invitation to him, to come on here if he wanted to, despite being a member of an enemy podcast. But with the caveat that he would have to explain himself with regards to his opinion on the Radagnast Fluttercraft, which he has said salacious, denigrating things about in the past,
It is pretty bad.
that I don't appreciate. And I will have my knives. So come on down.
I mean, he's a stalwart defender of the Wookiee Battle Force. He just plays it much differently than you do.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he does like just like straight up swarming, just swarming, bro. If
He likes to run at things, that's for sure.
they let you, if they let people play super squads of Wookiees, God forbid, then he would probably be running those.
Fix to Wookiees right there?
That
Super squad of Wookiees?
I don't think that would be very
Would
good though.
170 point Wookiee squads be good?
No.
Tune in next time.
The answer is no. So yeah, anything else about Rocky Top?
I think that sums it up. I've been to Rocky Top before. It's a great event. I'm glad to see that
Yeah.
they got 60 people. Ryan from the Stabcast, who runs it, an awesome guy, runs an awesome event.
I definitely want to go. The problem, it was like doubly a problem this year because like literally it happened the same weekend as WTC. But the other problem is that the time when it's typically held is my anniversary. So, it would involve, although my wife does live in Tennessee, but it's on the opposite side and it's a pretty big state. Or sorry, my wife is from Tennessee, I should say. Her family's there. But her family is in Memphis and this is in Knoxville, which, as you might guess, is like very, very far away. But yeah, you definitely keep an eye on Rocky Top for next year. I have heard nothing but good things, and it is very well run, and it's also just like very chill, because like zero people there are going to be like taking things mega seriously. You will have a good time.
For sure.
So switching things up, back across the pond again, UKGE, which I guess UKGE is kind of like a, is it kind of like a mini Adepticon for Britain? Is that sort of the deal? Or is it more of
I
a
mean,
mini Gen Con for Britain?
that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Now that's I'm saying that as someone who hasn't gone,
Yeah, of course.
so like
We're just a couple of idiot Americans over here.
yes, we're just never mind.
Yeah. Just pretend that there is a big segment of the podcast that we just cut out right now, and then, whatever just happened might be more entertaining to you. But go ahead, Mike.
we didn't actually cut anything, to be clear.
Don't call them on us.
But I do, that's definitely how I see it in my mind. This is definitely an event that they've been running and growing for a long time. It definitely seems like the premier tournament, like Legion tournament of the year in the UK.
Well, it's the I think actually that previously MKGT and now Chopper Base Open, just change the name. That one is typically bigger. Like that one, runs at 100, and that's
Maybe
sort of like
I'm
LVO level.
confused because I thought this was that event.
No, no, no,
Its
no.
name
This
just changed.
no the yeah yeah. So I'm glad we clarified that
Yeah,
before
very,
every
very
English
possible.
player would jump down both of our throats, which really means my throat because I'm the one who hangs out on their Discord sometimes. But UKGE, this is attached to like the larger gaming convention,
So this
and
is
the
more of like a Gen Con thing.
correct, correct.
Okay,
It's
okay.
the now Chopper Base Open. That's more similar to an LVO situation where it's not really like a convention. It's more of like a bunch of tournaments happening at the same time. So yeah, that basically Chabra Base Open is their LVO, and UKGE is maybe similar to Gen Con or
Like
Nova or something like that.
PAX or
Exactly.
something.
Yeah.
Okay.
So participation a little bit smaller. 38 players. I do think that a big part of it was that there, I'm sure, were several players who had just played in WTC. England had four teams, so that would have been 16 people, who probably would have been likely to go to this. But at least some of them were probably like, I just spent a whole weekend playing Legion. I don't really want to do it the weekend after. There were some people who did both, obviously, but yeah, just 38 Chabra Base Open is definitely going to be way bigger when that
Oh,
happens.
yeah, for sure.
So I remember something that you said about half of the top eight Iraqi top was CIS, huh?
Yep.
Well, half of the top eight at UKGE, some might even say the top half of the top eight, which some might also call the top four, were all CIS. The winner, in fact, was a friend of the pod. We can. He's certainly been on this podcast before. He's certainly written for the site before. Andy, if you're listening, I would still love to get the article that you said you would write for me for Swoops, like in January. But I know you've been a busy guy since then. Andrew Terrell, aka GST, he won with a. He's keeping the hope alive, Mike. He won with the Grievous double tank list. So Mike, go ahead, trash Andy's list, please.
I
You
mean,
have the
AATs
floor.
are bad. I don't know. I Andy, I know you love them. I'm sorry. That's just that's what I have to say about it. I mean, like, I look, here's the thing. I've been playing against Andy online since the game started, and he's a very good player. You could hand him, a Shadow Collective list, and he'd probably, do really well with it. If as long as, and this is something that I'm sure he's been practicing for forever, right? So,
I mean, he played tanks at Adepticon also, and so he's been doing it a while.
AATs have been like it's kind of seems like that's the thing he enjoys playing, right? That's cool.
And it's like Dave Grant said last time, is that he had a plan with it. He knows what he's doing with it. He's a very good player. You put all those things together, you can win with a whole lot of lists out there. So, and so I think that both you and I are like saying those words, and then I think that both you and I are also looking at the number two list, which is Lila's, and just like thinking in our heads, that one's probably better.
I mean, if I were to decide to play either of these lists and take it to a tournament tomorrow, I would definitely take Lila's.
Although for what it's worth, I don't know. It's tough to tell. It's tough to tell from the site, and people can correct us. I'm not positive whether the final between Andy and Lila actually got played. Like Andy's listed as the winner, but he was listed as like a 700-0, which I'm not sure is that like the is that the concession points that you get?
It
Just
sure
free
sounds like
concession.
it. I mean, I can kind of look at it a little bit more.
And well, no, actually, never mind. I take that back, because like their VPs
The
were
VPs
seven to
are seven
seven,
seven.
so they wouldn't have been in concession. I apologize for that. So yeah, like actually, if that's truly what the kill point score was, then I would be really curious about what happened in that game. And I'm sure that Snow Moon listeners will be able to find out.
It's possible it was a concession, but they still entered VPs.
Yeah, that's possible too. Anyway, but congrats to Andy. Well deserved, especially because he was like the functional TO. Another guy, Dave Nolan, was the event organizer for WTC, but Andy was the one, like getting the matchups done along with his wife Louisa. He was the one like doing the work, doing the real work. Sorry, Dave. So I'm glad that he was able to get out and actually play Legion and then win. That is pretty cool. And then I will point out that unlike with Rocky Top, we had a high finisher on the Empire side. It was Kevin Jones, very nice guy, very skilled player. Have you looked at this list yet, Mike?
Yeah, it looks like a lot of Ion Troopers.
It looks like, so you might remember we were having a conversation before about what the successful Empire lists look like. And it's like, we got Vader, Krennic, Ion Troopers times six.
It's tough to read this list, to
Good
be
Lord.
honest. But
It's
yeah,
like a
it looks
formatting
like it's
issue.
like, yeah.
Ion times six, and then one full Death Trooper with the DLT, three Dubaks, all with the RT-97. Which it seems to be, excuse me, the choice of the day these days, because of the range forwardness of it all, generally, and they all head into the fray because surge tokens are not easy to come by, these days. Thank you, AMG, for that.
Yep.
I guess like the unique parts of this was that the top Gar list, was at number six, and this was a Anakin Ahsoka Bad Batch list. So, sort of getting into the Hero Hammer zone. I will say that one of like the list that I lost against, being played by Germany One, was an even stronger example of Hero Hammer and Republic, because it had Anakin, Ahsoka Commander, Rex, and Bad Batch. It's that was a weird game because I ended up killing all of his uniques except for Bad Batch. But then, of course, what happened on the other end was that he like killed everybody on my side except for Dooku. And so by the time we got to the end of that, Lucas, who was my opponent, he had way more activations than I did. But what do you think about like the concept of a Hero Hammer-ish thing in Republic just generally, Mike?
My gut reaction is that it's not very good. In that you're focusing on things that the faction is not super great at. The Republic heroes tend to be very command card heavy, in that in order for that you to get the value out of them, you have to be playing their command cards. Like Yoda,
For sure. Yeah, for sure, Yoda.
Kenobi, Anakin, like
Yeah.
those three characters specifically, I think really want you to be playing their command cards, in order to be getting their value. Cody and Rex, like, less so. I think Ahsoka's maybe an open question. You can probably play Ahsoka without playing as many of her command cards. But I also think that you're taking away from a lot of like your synergy based effects when you start doing that, and that like you are losing a lot of your token sharing pool if you're focusing on taking 500 points of heroes or whatever.
Yeah, and like the game I played against Lucas, there was, I'm not sure, I think maybe like a surge was shared once, but that's just like not what the list does. The
Right.
rest of his list is laser RTs and naked clones, and I think that's it. Because obviously it's very hero heavy at the top. A big part of his game plan, of course, was that because he had Rex and Bad Batch and Anakin, is that or like and Ahsoka, if you're going to be prepared positioning Anakin, is that you get to really catapult your guys very far, especially with Bad Batch. And I think he had three copies, if I remember. No, he had two copies of improvised orders in order to like make sure that he was like trying to draw
Sort out
stuff
the order
late.
control.
But of course, when you have three commanders, that actually like cleans that up a little bit also.
It does.
Makes it easier to like activate the one he wants to, because he didn't really care about Rex. In fact, when I killed Rex, I realized too late what a mistake it was, because it was within tempted range, and
Oh.
I thought I was outside of tempted range, and I
Yep.
didn't check, so that's my mistake. But yeah, that led to a dead B1 squad. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I mean, for whatever it's worth, it worked against me. He did well in the event. I think he was 4-2. It's a thing that seems fun and worth exploring.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you can't do it.
Yeah,
I just
it seems
it
hard. I think it's very finesse. I think you need to be really confident
you
before you play
know,
that list.
yeah, I think it's sort of in the pool of like the like eight saber CIS list that
Yeah,
used to roll around. You know, it's
exactly.
like, can you do this? Yes. Can you find success with it? Yes. Is it high variance in that like some
Oh,
games
yeah.
you're just gonna like, you know, at the end of the day, these heroes are basically, you know, like core units when it comes to defending. You know, sometimes you just blank a roll every
Yeah.
once in a while and the unit just dies. And when that's like your 150 point Jedi, like, and you have four of them, like, it's like, you know.
Anakin, for what it's worth, is fairly low variance as far as Jedi go.
You certainly, you know, but like, you know, when we're starting to like talk about like Ahsoka and
Oh
Rex
yeah,
as being
they're
like the
very high
hero hammer
variance.
pieces, right?
Yeah.
You're like, you know,
Yeah.
Rex can just get picked up off the table instantaneously. Ahsoka's not that far behind. And so, yeah, I don't know.
I like angled. It was close the pocket, and I deployed in two zones, which was my hugest mistake because it allowed a bad batch to sneak up on my B1s and just like murder them all before they could get protected. So
I mean,
that was my
if Bad
screw up.
Batch is shooting B1s, you're probably happy with that generally,
So,
right?
sort of, but like what it did was that it set up activation disadvantage for when I actually collided into his heroes. And
Sure.
that's what ended up like doing me in at the end of the day, was having what was the fact that I was at activation parity with a list that I am supposed to be out activating by quite a bit.
That's fair. I guess my question there is like, was there a way that you could have avoided losing activations to Bad Batch? Because that's generally kind of
Yes, to group
par.
them all together. I mean,
Sure.
sort of to group them all together to the point where if he was going to be deleting activations, that he would actually be putting Bad Batch at risk, because that's not what
You weren't
happened.
able to punish him, is what you were
Correct.
saying.
Yeah.
Okay,
Bad Batch
okay.
was on their own, just killing B1s.
Oh no,
And
buddy,
so it was
buddy.
rough. Yeah. Hey,
Yeah.
that was my mistake.
Learning opportunity, right?
Oh yeah, totally. I'm always learning, especially when you're like not very good at the game. So,
That was
yeah,
tough. That was
great opportunity.
tough.
And then, I think that sort of can pivot into another discussion that we wanted to have. We've sort of hinted at it a couple of times, but the six-act clone list, Mike. We have seen one person absolutely just like trample an entire country with it, which is Ollie. I think he's probably like 12-0 with it at this point in like actual tournaments.
Sure.
And then at this tournament, I think that there were two English players that tried it out.
I think there were three or four copies of the list that I
There
saw.
were some variations,
There
right? Like there are a couple
definitely weren't
variations.
identical
Right,
copies.
right. One of the people who played it was Dave Grant.
Who's very good.
He's very good. He ended up, I think he needed a drop, but like by the time he did, he was 2-2. It is worth mentioning that his two losses were both against EXD players, one of whom was Lila. And I'll pull up the other player in just a second, but both of whom, I think it was Chris Rees, was the other EXD player. So they're
That's
both
a
very
name I see
good.
a lot.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. That list, for whatever it's worth, you know, when Ollie was on here, that was the first example I thought of in terms of a list that could punish the six-act list, because it has such a huge range 4/snail 3 hit, that it would actually be enough damage to matter for those clone super squads. Whereas most of the time, when you're taking turn one damage, it would be infinitesimal because of the insane health of those squads. But I did the math for the WTC article, and like generally on average, past heavy cover, two snails and two range 3 BX shots with a sniper is 25 hits with Pierce 1 on two of the shots. That will kill everything that's not Bad Batch, in terms of trooper units anyway. Like it will definitely die. Every hero in the game, every super squad in the game, gone.
If it's not behind a line of sight blocker,
Correct. Yeah.
you get to delete it.
And then if you like then shift over to talk about like medium units, like a sleeper cell with a dodge, then you're talking about maybe being able to get rid of two of them in round one. Like it can be pretty brutal. But we still haven't really seen that list tested in like a wider variety of contexts, which is part of why I'm taking it to a local this time.
Yeah, I do think that the kind of the example you gave is like, I think speaks to the list weakness in that you can't really afford to lose a unit ever.
No.
As soon as you lose a unit, that like if you lose a unit, you're probably just dead.
Yeah.
And that like that unit is probably the only unit that was scoring one of the four objectives that had to be contested, right?
You, you,
And
you.
now you can't score that objective ever again.
Right. I mean, like, even if you're talking about like a Rex or an Ahsoka, your two most, or not Ahsoka, a Rex or an Anakin, your two most killable units actually in that list. You can afford to lose them maybe like round four or after when you've already achieved like point superiority to your opponent. But if it's before then, good night. It's over.
I definitely think that, I think is the six axe list probably going to do pretty good against like heavy range two stuff? Yeah,
Yeah.
I could believe that, right?
Yeah.
I think it's got enough range three firepower in that list that it's just throwing buckets of dice, and then when it closes to range two, it's still like one upping you on a 1-to-1. Like I'm moving in, shooting you. Your sleeper cell like moves in, shoots me, kills four models or
Right,
whatever,
right.
right? And I still have like most of a squad left, right?
Yeah.
And so yeah, I mean, this has kind of been my concern with it overall. And I think the thing that I also want to kind of maybe like point to here is that I think Ollie could play 98% of lists in Legion and go 12-0 with them.
This is a
And
huge part of it for sure.
when people come to me with like, hey, Mike, so and so that's like really good at Legion, like did really good with this list, what do you think? My first reaction is like, okay. I mean, nine times out of 10 here, it's like not the list, it's the player, right? And, I mean, I'm also undefeated with my Cody Lat list. Would I take it
Broken.
to, like, is it busted as crap? Like, I don't think so, right? Can you take the six axe list and go to a tournament and be competitive? I'm
I'll
not
find out.
sure. Yeah, I'm not totally sure. There's not everyone that brought it to UKGE, nobody went better than 0.5 with it, right? Which is
Yeah.
obvious, which is not good enough. And I don't think that we can take like Ollie's win streak as anything other than Ollie being
Oh,
Ollie.
for sure.
He was the world champion,
When it's one
and
person, it's a former world champion. Those are like two gigantic, like boulder-sized grains of salt
it's
in
like
the whole
Lila
machine.
running around with
The quad saber
the
list,
quad
right?
saber list, right?
Yeah.
Like you hand Lila,
Right.
anything, and she's
I
gonna.
always caveat that as like, yes, quad saber won a GT. Lila was the pilot,
Yeah,
and so like conversation's sort of over at that point.
So, I mean, I definitely think that it's possible that this list is a thing that could be good. I don't think we have the data to support that yet, and I'm not ready to jump on that bandwagon, I think, after talking about it for like a month. And I'm frankly starting to get nervous because I'm seeing interviews with Will Schick and he's like, well, we're seeing Ollie with this six act clone list beating everybody up. And like the underlying lining thing there should not be that super squads are good, is that Ollie Dyer is good. And like we should salute Ollie for that, but like,
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that it's one thing from a creativity and like branching out to try to find the list that's going to be fun. Like there's a crap ton of value there. But I would hope that when it came to balance decisions at AMG, that they're looking at much broader numbers
Yeah.
than Ali's like unique situation with the clone list.
And I think I could be wrong here. The only tournament that it's actually went like undefeated at is WTC at this point, right?
There, I mean, there were only big tournament, but there haven't been other big tur like it went undefeated at locals before it,
Yeah,
right? With Ali.
locals, I'm gonna be
Yeah.
honest. If you win locals and are proud of it, that's great. I'm good on you. I don't count locals for
I have won multiple
anything.
locals with Wookiee defenders.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there.
You can win a
So if
local
that.
with you can win a local. A good player can win a local down 200 points. Nice.
I mean, yeah, that's accurate.
You know?
Yeah, so certainly part of next week, I'll be reporting in about how that list went, and then whatever craziness Isaiah is doing, he'll be reporting in on that as well. But yeah, like the GT season is gonna start to kick into gear, so we'll keep talking about that stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and get to Indy here. I think, I guess next weekend because it's
Oh,
Friday.
cool,
Yeah,
cool, cool.
hopefully that's a little up in the air at the moment, but we'll see.
Yeah, and then also, probably this is a good time to I'm gonna start like trying to like say it as often as I can. But the Evergreen Open is gonna be over here in the Seattle area, aka the Atomic Mass Games area, and that is gonna be on August 22nd. That is run by Izzy. I am going to be a judge.
You're not gonna
So
play?
no, I'm not
Oh.
playing.
Oh man.
This will be the third year I've done it, and I haven't played yet.
Okay.
It's, you know, cause Izzy is just like cracking the whip. You know, it's like, if I'm running this thing, then, you know, the people that I play with, often are going to help me. And, you know, I do it begrudgingly. No, but it is a lot of fun. It's a very well run tournament, and I think that we're gonna have some like direct support from AMG there. So that's something to be excited about, and it's in a nice, quiet, easy to get to part of Bellevue, which you can get to like using purely our light rail now. So it's not so bad. August 22nd. So think about checking us out for that. Mike, before we wrap things up. You actually wanted to talk a little bit about, speaking of enemy, whatever, about an enemy minis game, Warhammer
Yeah,
40K.
I did want to talk about it. So, look, I haven't played Warhammer in like 10 years, but they're redoing Space Wolves. And by redoing, I mean they're basically redoing all the sculpts. Like AMG's like redoing all like the Rebel and Imperial sculpts, and they were getting
Okay.
like new units and stuff. And
For context, when is the last time Skulls came out for Space Wolves?
oh God, like I think the ones I have now, I bought at least 15 years ago.
And I guess they've been reprinting them as needed since then, but like the same skulls
Yeah,
over and over
yes. It's like
again.
the
Okay.
same kits. Like there's been
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a couple
yeah.
of units that maybe have been added, but like the
Sure.
bulk of like the core units have not been
Okay.
updated in like almost 2 decades, sort of
And
thing.
so they're getting new models. Are there other chapters that are getting new models too, or is this like a Space Wolves thing?
They do like factions by themselves.
Okay, okay.
So yeah, it's just Space Wolves. They're getting their new codex. I pre-ordered the like army box because I was like, dang, these models look cool, and my
Yeah.
nostalgia, am I getting hit in this nostalgia feels? But through this process, I learned some things about Warhammer that, or I guess the evolution of Warhammer that
Sure.
I kind of wanted to talk about because I thought that they might be like interesting because I mean, it its crux, Star Wars Legion, is based on the guiding principles of Warhammer 40K, at least the Warhammer 40K I knew like 10 to 15 years ago,
More
right? Like,
so even now in New Legion than in Legacy Legion, is my understanding.
maybe that's sort of kind of what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
So a couple things. Their quad yearly balance update came out last week, or this week, I should say.
So
So they have a points update quarterly
quarterly,
as
okay.
opposed to like semi-annually.
Sure.
And there's like 30 factions in the game, and like every faction had like 12 to 15 units that got points adjustments. And they do this 4 times a year.
Man, I mean, they, for
I
what it's
just,
worth, it's a much more popular the game. They get a lot more data.
it is, it is. I was like, whoa, this is like crazy, right? Like, this is a lot of changes.
I'm not sure if.
But I wanted to call out like what the
Yeah,
changes
sure.
were, right? It's not like they're changing text on stuff. It's just
Sure.
points changes, and it's
Right.
like, rather than Clone Commandos changing from 75 to 90, it's Clone Commandos changing from 75 to 80. And if it's still a problem, next quarter it'll go to 85. And like it's slow, gradual changes that are very incremental, which I think is great. Definitely it just but there was just like a ton of them. It's like these units aren't seeing play, hit them. These units are seeing play, hit them in the opposite direction, right? Which I think is a good way to do it. It shakes things up. Obviously,
Yeah.
we're kind of like already shaking things up with a new addition. I thought that was very interesting. The second thing that I thought was kind of insane and kind of broke my mind a little bit was that there's no Force Org in Warhammer 40K anymore. It just doesn't exist. You can take any unit.
So you can take like four tanks.
Yes. So the stipulation is that there are battle line units and not battle line units, and then I guess characters.
Okay.
Like named characters, you obviously can only take one of. Generic characters, you can take up to three of each generic.
So it's like the clone commander.
You can take up to
The,
three of them,
okay, okay.
and that's actually true of any non-battle line unit. So like you could have three AATs and then three persuader tanks, all in the same list. You know, even though they're all heavies, like
Interesting.
you, it's just checking the unit, not the where it would be in the Force Org, right? And like similarly with the battle line units, which are essentially like core, but like the battle line units in 40K seem to be kind of like a little bit more broad now. Is like, you know, you can have six clone infantry, but it seems like you could also have six clone marksmen, right? When they come out or whatever. And obviously, 40K is like significantly larger scale than Legion, I would say, still, even with the 1,000 points. Like, there's still a lot more stuff on the table for 40K. I would say maybe like 40 to 50% more, depending on the army. But anyways, I thought it was. Yeah, I thought it was interesting to talk about from a this is a game that kind of our game was built on, and the foundational thing that our game is still built on has actually been kind of removed from this game completely, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, and you know, when I think about what the intent of Legion was at the beginning, and even more so is now, because the company that makes it wants to keep it separate from Shatterpoint, they have extra motivation for that. Is that like I think that Legion is always going to be a game where there's going to be a core requirement of some kind,
Yes,
and also a commander requirement of some kind as well, although that one obviously is a little bit more wishy-washy, and we have like you can use a generic or you can use a field commander, whatever. But even those lists that typically have an operative in them anyway. But yeah, like that is very interesting. Like it's, the quarterly update thing is very interesting. I definitely like the idea of doing a lot of micro adjustments.
Yeah, it's definitely like I gotta imagine it's a lot. The thing is, I'm not sure it's like a lot more work because I think they just kind of throw everything at the wall and see what sticks is sort of what how that looking at it felt.
It could be, but you know, they could also have a massive testing apparatus. I mean, it is 40K.
They could. They could. You know, I'm a little bit suspect on that based on like how everybody talks about it, but again, that might be just like a community narrative thing, right?
But then on top of that, they have massive data input
They do.
from tournaments because
They
of
do.
how friggin' popular 40K is.
Yes.
And so that would improve the confidence they would have about making X or Y change, compared to Legion, where, like from Adepticon until now, like until WTC happened, like you would have just had some local tournaments that you could pick and choose, and the like 8 7 8 person tournaments, maybe a couple like 20 odd here and there. So like let's say it was quarterly for Legion and they changed things in April. If they were going to be due for July, then first of all they would need to submit the stupid PDF to LFL sometime in June.
Yeah.
So that really washes it
There's
out. But
definitely some challenges on the frequency side of things. I'm not sure the frequency of the updates is the big takeaway, you know?
I
Because I
think
do
the
think the
takeaway,
frequency is tough.
maybe how many things they changed at once is the takeaway.
Yeah. It definitely felt to me like what struck me was that basically everybody's army got touched. Like, it didn't matter what faction you were playing. Your stuff was touched in a way that something was different, right? Which watching all these YouTube videos and people, I'm like just trying to figure out like what am I supposed to be doing as like a Space Wolf player, right? But like everybody seems like really excited about these changes, and they're like, they changed this and that and that and that, and there's just so many changes that like we don't know exactly where everything's gonna land, right? And I thought it was just. It felt refreshing, I guess, is what I would say. And just from like people seemed like it was very like optimistic in that their creativity was going to be able to be expressed and like figuring out the new stuff and like trying to play around with it and like build new lists and play with pieces that they play the Riot Control Squad that was bad a month ago or whatever, or whatever, right? And
That is how it felt in X-Wing, by the way, because like when they only made adjustments like once or twice a year, but when they changed everything. At least that's how it felt. And so there was almost this like ceremonial when the points changes came out. Like you would take your list builder app on your phone and you would just delete everything. It was like a fun thing. It was like, okay, it's time to just like build
It's a
new
starting
list.
new.
Like,
It's
yeah.
like a new year sort of
Right,
thing,
right,
right?
right. Whereas like the last few Legion changes, I think that they're very targeted, and there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. And obviously in November they targeted the right things. But I do feel like there could be a little bit more of trying to like shave, 3 or 4 points off of Rebel Commandos or Rebel Mandalorians. Or Rebel Wookiees. I don't know why I keep naming Rebel Special Forces, but like I do know that was a little dig, but I would like to see more stuff like that, like little adjustments across the board, little adjustments with upgrade prices.
Yeah, and I think some of the things that like the community people that were talking about it that resonated with me, I think, was that it was clear that they made changes to units that like maybe didn't need changes at all, but they just made the changes to like make it different. Like it's just like, is it okay if this is the year of the Mandalorian? Sure. Let's just knock 10 points off all the Mandos or whatever. That's just an example, right? Like, or the quarter of the Mandalorian or whatever. And if it's like if it's healthy, we'll keep it. And if it's not, we'll move it back in the direction that it was. And so it very interesting approach. Is it better than what we have now? I don't know. I obviously am not like super attached to 40K. But it was just like interesting kind of like entering that space in it's a place I haven't been in a very long time, and it feeling like they're doing a whole host of things that I don't remember them doing before. So
That may be an interesting thing to ask the Wills about next time they come on, which is just like to what extent they're paying attention to how other popular game systems are changing what they do and whether that has affected their own game plans. And yeah, because change is fun. And
Change is
so
definitely fun. Like it can be annoying sometimes, right? And it can be
yeah.
frightening, right? Like I think it's like somebody who's like made
Oh, yeah,
stuff
we're
before,
Americans,
like,
so
you
yeah.
know, yeah, right. But you know,
But
I yeah.
if like a unit is doing okay, or if a unit is doing like slightly better than okay or slightly worse than okay, making a small adjustment can breathe new life into the unit. And like you think about the idea of what if they all of a sudden made like let's say they decided that the clone shotgun is like taking way too much and so that goes up by 2 points, but then they're like the RPS taking way too little and so they do something crazy like subtract 6 points from the clone RPS. Like
Yep.
that's gonna introduce like new list building strategies that would make the game feel fresh.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And yeah, I would like to see more than that. Like I think that we'll see what November brings. With April, I think that there was this big thing about making sure that things match the printed cards.
No doubt.
And so you can
Again, I'm
almost toss that
not
one
th
out.
this is not me trying to like beat them over the head with like, hey, you didn't change stuff in April. Like this was just like I think even from like the before times, like this, like
Right.
the grandiose amount of changes that they made in the, you know, they're like, one faction got like 12 units that changed. Like that's a lot. Like in our game, that would be a lot. If like 12 units changed in points value in Rebels, like that would be huge,
Yeah.
regardless of like what units it was and like.
For Shadow Collective, that'd be more than what
That's like the whole
exists.
roster, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do think to me it's an indicator because I think a lot of the things in the new Legion, like it feels like we're trending more towards we are getting more like Warhammer, not less like Warhammer, I think, as we've kind of like go down the progression path.
Seems that way from an objective standpoint, at the very least.
Yeah, for sure. And which, you know, I mean, look, Warhammer is a very successful game,
Yeah, if it
right?
ain't
Like
broke, don't fix it to a certain extent.
I think the game of Warhammer definitely has its issues. I think, you know, obviously there are a ton of people that
Activate,
play it.
alternating, not alternating
I,
activation is the biggest thing.
you know, if I could
Yeah.
play like Warhammer models in the Star Wars Legion like game system, like I would do that in a heartbeat,
Yeah,
alongside the
fair.
Legion stuff, right? But
Right, right,
like
right.
yeah, I just don't like the actual game.
I just
But
can't imagine just like hanging out for like 20 minutes while your opponent like,
just like does
moves their
stuff.
army around and kills all your guys. That sounds
Yeah.
like the worst experience possible.
It's
But
not great.
that's what would be happening to me
Yeah,
is
yeah.
that I would realize it's like how poorly I deployed and then he's like gonna move these guys and kill your guys, I'm gonna move these guys and kill your guys, and they're just like ah.
Well, it seems like since I've played last, it looks like they've like introduced some systems that allow you to like interrupt on your opponent's turn
Oh,
with some stuff. It's
counterspell.
sort of it's more like counter charge, you
Sure,
know,
sure, sure.
or whatever, you know, stuff like
Yeah.
that. It's like it depends on the army you're playing and stuff. They're kind of like command card effects, but you play them as interrupts, basically, you know. Anyways, this isn't a Warhammer podcast,
Yeah, I
but
mean,
I did,
hey,
you know, yeah.
I'm excited to have some new Space Wolves to build and paint. That I will say that Space Wolves and Ultramarines, those are the two types of Space Marines that I actually like know what they are. And when I say that, I mean Space Wolves are Vikings and Ultramarines are Romans, right? Am I off there?
You're not too far off.
Yeah.
I would say the thing that I like about Space Wolves is actually maybe my favorite thing about New Legion. The thing about that made me go to Space Wolves, A, was the Viking thing, and B
Yeah.
was that you had all of these independent characters that you could like embed in your squads, and like
Oh, okay.
you know it's like Bjorn, and he joins your like
Yeah, Bjorn
your
Bjornsson.
yeah and he joins your like core unit of like rebel troopers, and you know what they did to Gar? they basically like introduce that mechanic in Squad
Ah,
Leaders,
so
which
Gar has Space Wolf's DNA
it's
in
very
there.
Space Wolf-esque,
Okay,
right?
yeah.
Which I love. That's one of the best changes I think they've made to this
Totally,
game.
yeah.
I think there's some balance issues, but we can barrel through those,
When you
right?
only have one type of core unit, it's especially important to find a way to get variety.
But like, that was one of my favorite things about the reason that I picked this faction in 40K, and they happened to manipulate my faction and Legion that way too, which was really awesome. So I think that there's a lot of like custom things that they, I mean, I also don't think that's a coincidence
No.
from like a, they're like, oh, that's a thing that like they also took from Space Wolves and put into other 40K armies because it was really cool. Let's do this in our game too, because it's obviously something somebody likes,
Yeah, guess what? If you're doing a good job working for a company trying to make money for a game, then adapting ideas from games that are successful is a smart thing to do. Like, newsflash, bro. Okay, yeah, but so thank you for all that. It's definitely interesting stuff, and I think that is where we can land the plane, Mike.
All right. Yeah, we've been talking for a while now, and I don't have YouTube open, so I'm not sure what episode number it is. Actually, I think it's 18. I think this is Notorious Scoundrels Season 4,
Sure.
Episode
Episode
18.
18. Yep.
I'm Mike.
I'm Evan.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.